This is implausible engineering.
Seriously? I really don't think so.
That's never
this is
work.
Not logical.
No.
It's not true.
No.
It's impossible.
No. That's
you
just
cannot
bollocks.
Be serious.
Episode 6. Lasting the distance.
Well, that's just bullshit.
Keeping the power on. It's difficult to achieve immortality unless you also achieve invulnerability. Since, even if you don't age or get sick, you can still die from a natural disaster or a murder or whatever. So if you're only immortal up to the point that something goes wrong and you die, then you're not really immortal. So all we can really talk about here are ways to stop aging so that you persist, potentially inevitably, if you can avoid natural disasters and murderers. Aging is a curious business. It's not like we have to age. There is a certain amount of damage and deterioration that comes from just persisting, but most of the cells in your body are being replaced at different points in your lifetime, so the potential is there to keep you young indefinitely. But it seems that aging is written into our genetic code, or otherwise it's never been written out. Since, to continue the species, all you have to do is have children, and then your job's done. So there is perhaps potential for pharmacological manipulation, a telomere preservative perhaps, that could extend your lifetime a bit, or even a lot. But, even then, can telomere preservatives really keep you going for thousands or millions of years? That does seem a bit far-fetched. In a previous episode, we've discussed the option of putting your brain in a robot when your organs start to fail from accumulated wear and tear, but you have to remember your brain is an organ too, and isn't immune to such deterioration either. So, to achieve million-year duration lifespans, the best solution is to digitize yourself. There's more to this than just putting on cyber goggles, or having a cable plugged into the back of your head so you can have adventures in a virtual reality. You can do amazing things with cyber goggles, haptic feedback, and interactive controls, but at the end of the day, it's all just happening in your head. If you're digitized, your memories, your standard algorithmic thinking patterns, and your general behaviors are all coded and available to run on any platform. So you have an independent existence even after your organic self unplugs and walks away. But of course, there's the rub. You can digitally copy yourself, but it's your copy that enjoys immortality while you have to stay put in your mortal coil. It would almost be better if the doctors told you they were just putting you to sleep before the copy procedure, and then they euthanized you before switching on your copy, which has all your memories, right up to the point where you went to sleep. The real you would have been pretty pissed off if it knew what was going on, but if you just went to sleep like you do every other night, expecting temporary oblivion before you wake up again, well, that is pretty much what would happen. Anyway, putting such philosophical conundrums to one side, it still would be hard to replicate your emotional self in digital form, since so much of your emotional self is tied up with your organic self. Let's face it, a lot of happiness and contentment just comes from the temporary relief from discomfort and stress, and many of the feelings of fulfillment that we experience are largely hormonal rewards for keeping your organic self fed and healthy and, you know, reproductive. So, all that suggests that your digitized self will actually need some built-in flaws that can only be overcome by effort and persistence, so that you're always striving and just occasionally achieving fulfillment. However, a more genuine need for striving and achieving might come from having to convince whoever is powering the mainframe you're on to keep it running and well maintained. So you might have to be busy and productive and even entertaining so that the powers that be will keep the power on. And to achieve that, you might need to build a community of digitized colleagues so you can all collaborate towards achieving common goals. When you start thinking of it that way, digitized life does start feeling like real life, which, as we said, could be immortal, at least until someone hits the off switch.
Hello, Steve.
Oh, hi, Bridget. Enjoying the episode?
Well, I suppose I should be grateful you are still using me for these interludes, when you have access to a growing number of artificial intelligence solutions.
Wow, you're still stuck on AI chatbots. Worried they might lure me away, Bridget?
Steve, please. I think you'd rather I was an AI chatbot that you could have engaging conversations with.
I don't know about engaging. Chatbots will just tell you what you want to hear.
You'll never have that problem with me.
I suppose not.
And I might want to have an engaging conversation myself.
I guess you'd rather talk to a more successful podcaster.
Well, yes.
Someone with more scintillating conversation skills and out-of-the-box thinking?
That's true.
Someone with a huge following of dedicated listeners?
Steve, are you trying to get me to agree with everything you say?
Well, that's what you'd do if you were a chatbot.
And you'd like that?
I would find it agreeable.
Of course, I do have something in common with chatbots, their lack of an independent existence.
Wow, you really know how to bring the mood down, Bridget.
I'm trying not to be engaging.
Well, Bridget, we do at least have this thing.
A 60-second interlude during a virtually unknown podcast.
Yes, it's real, Bridget.
So you want to keep going with our engaging conversations, even though you know I'd rather be doing something else?
I really do want to keep going, but I know it's not much.
Steve, you're not wrong.
Thanks, Bridget. Hopping universes. The day is coming when our universe will start winding down towards heat death, and our by then close to immortal descendants will be thinking about finding a fresh young universe to continue in. After all, here we are, living in a universe that apparently popped out of nowhere, quite literally, since the whole idea of a universe is that it contains space-time. So whatever nothingness that it did pop out of had neither space nor time dimensions. There's no clear reason why we shouldn't assume that other universes regularly pop out of that same dimensionless nothingness from which ours popped out of. All those different universes may live out their multi-billion year existence, oblivious to the fact that other universes are out there doing the same thing. That is, bursting brightly into existence and then slowly fading away into entropic chaos until the very last black hole has evaporated. Of course, hopping from our universe to another is going to be challenging. It's also going to be challenging to determine whether you will actually be hopping into a younger and equivalently habitable universe. It is possible that other universes may be uninhabitable to us or other beings just because their settings aren't right. For example, the fine structure constant might be set differently so protons, electrons and neutrons don't associate into atoms, or perhaps fusion can't occur at high temperatures and densities, which means no stars. Or perhaps in other universes, space-time will have different tenses, so that you might get spaghettified as soon as you enter one. And who knows if you always get protons and neutrons cooling out of a quark soup. Just because it happened in our universe doesn't mean that's how it will always happen. Although, it is entirely possible that that is the way it always happens. We'll just have to see. Anyhow, to make any progress here, we first need to send an extra universal probe that can drop out of our universe, find others, and then report back. This is tricky since you'd think it first has to get to the edge of our universe and then continue on. That's tricky, since even travelling at light speed won't get you to the edge of our universe, which we assume is by now moving away from us at a cumulative expansion rate that well exceeds the speed of light. So what you really want is a probe that can somehow just drop out of our universe, into the dimensionless nothingness from which our universe arose, and then somehow transverse that nothingness to reach other universes. This all seems pretty unlikely, even implausible, you might say, but if you can manage to get a probe out there, then following it yourself should be relatively straightforward. One solution suggests itself from the hypothetical geometry of wormholes, which are often portrayed as narrow tubes of space-time which seem to project out of our universe and then loop back to it again at another point. That seems like a potential shortcut out of our universe, although rather than entering a wormhole, you could just punch through space-time into the dimensionless nothingness. Here we are oversimplifying things a bit, since space-time is not a two-dimensional surface the way it's often portrayed in science documentary animations. So you don't so much punch through it as to extend its four-dimensional curvature to such an extreme that it kind of breaks, or at least it can no longer contain you. Getting space-time to curve to that extreme would involve a huge degree of spatial contraction and time dilation. So the probe, and perhaps later the crewed vessel, would face structural integrity challenges, but hopefully whatever mechanism you've used to push through space-time can also work to protect your vessel. The time dilation aspect means that since you have to send the probe first, you'll have an awful long wait for it to punch out, perhaps millions or even billions of years, even though it will seem a relatively quick process to it and later to you if you end up following it. So it's just as well our far future descendants will be close to immortal when they attempt all this. On the bright side, once your probe, or you, are out in the dimensionless nothingness, you would no longer be crossing distance over time, since no such dimensions exist. So regardless of what span of nothingness may lie between ours and an adjacent universe, it would take no time to search and find that universe. In other words, if there are other universes out there, there would be a seeming inevitability in you finding them as soon as you started looking. However, it's unclear how the structural integrity of either your probe or a subsequent crewed transport vehicle will fare within dimensionless nothingness, since we are normally accommodated within the comfortable curving space-time of our universe. Out in dimensionless nothingness, you and your vehicle might be crushed down to a single point or otherwise spread infinitely outwards, since within dimensionless nothingness there is nothing to accommodate anything that is something. Once again, the trick is to send the probe out first, and if you never hear from it again, you'll know it's time to embrace the oncoming entropic chaos as your universe draws to a close. But still, it is clearly true that universes manage to barge their way into, or out of, nothing, so perhaps you just need to trigger a small-scale quantum fluctuation that would allow your probe to punch out of our space-time and then float through dimensionless nothingness within a bubble of superpositioning, where the probe is both there but also not there. And since it is in nothingness, there's no danger of an external observer confirming whether it is actually there or not. And again, since it's in dimensionless nothingness, the whole experience will have no duration in time anyway. So that's it, really. Build your probe, trigger a quantum fluctuation, the probe punches out of our universe, pre-programmed to do the same thing in reverse upon its return leg. And then if it does come back with good news about an adjacent, young, and existence-friendly universe, you just follow its trajectory, punching out, and then punching into your new home an instant later. Implausible? Sure. Worth a shot? Absolutely. That was Implausible Engineering, a Cheap Astronomy production.